Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess will be out today. I'll have my good friend, Father Charles Murr, filling in for Jesse. And I hope you had a great weekend, family. You know, Friday, we did a show with Father Murr on 21 regrets people confess on their deathbed. Well, we're going to continue on that theme because we didn't get through all 21. And I got a lot of responses from people texting me and calling me saying, wow, that is really good for my examination of conscience before I go to confession. So I think it's a good thing, and we'll do it. We'll do that again. Father Murr, are you on with us, please?
I sure am.
Fantastic. Well, Father Murr, we're always give the gospel of the day, and then we're going to go to right to Fulton Sheen and then get into 21 regrets people confess on their deathbed. And this is going to be another follow-up from Friday's show. So, Father Murr, we're taking the 19th week of Ordinary Time, the Gospel of Matthew. If you could read the Gospel and give us a little commentary, we'd love doing that.
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathered in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the tax collectors, the collectors of the temple tax, approached Peter and said, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," Peter said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked Peter, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you'll find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's kind of wild, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. When you think about it, I mean, you know, talking about they're going to kill him, and then he says, "I'm going to be raised." Wow, you know, there's a lot there.
Yeah, there is a lot there. There is a lot there. This is one of the indications. Do you remember after the resurrection, when the apostles said, they hadn't understood what he was saying?
Yes.
That he was going to have to die. And well, he told them.
Yes.
He told them repeatedly during the 3 years he lived with him that he was going to be handed over to the chief priests and Pharisees, and that they were going to kill him.
That's right.
And that on the third day he would raise again from the dead. He told him that. They didn't understand it. Well, they didn't understand it because they didn't want to.
Exactly.
They didn't want to. They were looking for something else. They wanted something else from him. And that's why they hadn't heard, they didn't understand. Well, certainly they heard, and they didn't understand because they didn't want to. But this is, you know, this reminds me a little bit, Terry, of yesterday's gospel. In this sense, yesterday's Sunday gospel, I should say, from the Tridentine Mass.
Good, yep, you got it.
That's the mass I offer.
Sure.
I don't know what you had in the Novus Ordo, but in the Tridentine Mass, we had the gospel of the deaf and dumb man cured by our Lord, and Christ put his fingers into the man's ears, and then took saliva from his own tongue,
right,
Christ's tongue, and touched the man's tongue. I went just about crazy for the last couple of days looking up from the fathers of the church and everything what that was all about.
Sure.
Because you and I both know, whatever Christ wanted, because he's God,
mm-hmm,
this is a central mystery about, let me say that again, because Christ is God. I think a lot of people miss that, and they go through life without knowing that.
Yeah.
They miss the divinity of Christ, and then they're missing the whole message.
You got it.
But because he's God, he didn't have to touch the man's ears and touch his tongue, and he didn't have to do any of that. He could have just said, that's it, be cured. But he uses these signs and symbols. There's a meaning for all of them, and I'm sure St. Augustine has it somewhere. I just can't find it. It drove me crazy yesterday.
It's funny.
This is sort of the same thing with this fish and a coin in its mouth.
Yeah.
This has got to mean something.
Yes.
Years ago, it did. I understood it years ago, and right now that I'm reading it, I'm forgetting what it was.
Sure.
However, one thing I do know is that who's in charge? Who is Christ talking to? As the man in charge, Simon Peter.
Yes.
He's got 11 other apostles. He loves them all.
Mm-hmm.
He's lived with them for 3 years. It's Simon Peter who's the take charge guy. And he's the one that Christ talks to about everything that has to do with authority. And what he says is, he's asking him about the temple tax.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews who are in charge of that temple tax approach Peter and say, What they're doing is charging Christ for not paying the temple tax.
There you go.
Right? You've got to remember two things are going on here. The Romans are there, and the Jews are there.
Mm.
You've got two different governments, right?
Yes.
The Jews resent the Romans. The Romans despise the Jews. It's a crazy thing. But you've got these two systems going on, one secular completely, one religious completely. Anyway, the Jews, for the temple tax, everyone is charged, and they come up to Peter, always ready to put conflict. Notice how they don't ask Christ directly.
Right.
They go to Peter. How many times people do that with rumors and everything else? We don't go to the source, do
yep.
we?
No, it's, yep.
No, we go to somebody close to the source, because we're really not interested in the answer. What we want to do is damage.
Yeah.
We want to damage somebody's reputation. This is why we go to someone close to the source and not directly to the source. And our Lord tells us, you've got something against your brother, you go to him directly.
Right.
You go to him directly, talk to him. If that doesn't work, come with a witness, but go to him directly. No, we choose not to do that because we're really not interested in the answer. What we're interested in is doing the damage, and it's really bad. It's really diabolical that. But then our Lord says to him, "All right, they're worried about the tax, Peter. You go fishing. You're a fisherman. You go fishing again, and the first fish you catch, open up its mouth, and you're going to find a coin there. Now that coin is worth twice what they're asking. So you pay the tax for me, and pay it for yourself."
Right.
I love that relationship that Christ is already having with Peter.
Yep.
Fantastic. He's taking care of what Peter owes.
Yep. Right? Yep.
According to the Jewish law. It's a beautiful relationship that throughout the whole gospel Christ develops with Simon Peter. And it's the reason for which the early church immediately took the successor of Saint Peter as someone very special. We continue that in our Catholic faith, which is 2,000 years old,
yep.
and we believe is the, let me underscore that word, if I may, the true faith.
You got it. Okay. We need to proclaim that yep. more often, Father. Father,
yep.
I'm looking at the Navarre Bible commentary, and it just confirms what you're saying, where it says, "This shows how conscientiously our Lord fulfilled his civic duties, although the half-shekel tax had to do with religion, given the theocratic structure of Israel at the time of the payment of this tax,"
right.
"also constituted a civil obligation." It was interesting, the commentaries that you have on this. We have to get back into the mindset of 2,000 years ago, what was going on there. So thank you for that commentary. Father Murr, I'm going to bring the smartest guy into the room right now, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and I'm going to tease everybody because we're right at the break time. This is he's got a special guest on the train, and this special guest has a comment or a statement that will give us much solace as Christians and today in the world. because this is one of those saints that suffered much at the hands of not only the church, the state. So I thought this his friend is going to teach us something. So when we come back, we'll cover that. But I also want to remind everybody that tomorrow's show, we are going to be talking about the affidavit of religious belief with regards to the COVID vaccination exemption. I've done a lot of research on this, and tomorrow we're going to talk about how different states that are giving you an opportunity to sign this affidavit of religious belief with regards to the COVID vaccination of being able not to, you don't want to be vaccinated. I have something that I might, that would be of value for you to use, especially if your kid's going to college or your state is requiring everybody, you know, one size fits all. But for a lot of us who do not want to have any connection with abortion, even with its testing, we don't want to get the vaccination. Well, then this affidavit could be of help for you. So tomorrow we'll talk about that. But when we come back, Bishop Sheen's friend has a statement that should give you much solace in the world that we live in today, where people are acting like God doesn't exist. So we'll come back and listen to what Fulton Sheen's friend has to say on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Father Charles Murph sitting in for Jess Romero. And we're just too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And I'll tell you, if hope was money, both of us, we'd be billionaires. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back, family. Jesse's out of town. Father Charles Murr's filling in. We have a special guest. Let's bring in the smartest guy in the room with that choo-choo train, please. We'll see. One more. Yep. Full Sheen ahead. Here he is, Bishop Sheen. He has a special guest in the statement. It's one of the great saints, St. Thomas More. Now, why do I say St. Thomas More is important for us, Father More? Is because we kind of live in the same times where people think we're crazy for standing up for the gospel. And so here's what he has to say. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And I would ask you to do what I do. Here's my reminder book. I have it written on my first page for the last 30 years. I write this down. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. You can write that down. It's something that I think you look at, especially when you're trying to live out your faith in a world that acts like God doesn't exist. Father Murr, St. Thomas More, isn't he a great patron saint for our time?
A fantastic patron saint. He's patron saint of other things, besides other things, of lawyers.
Yes, lawyers, exactly. Thomas More Society.
A brilliant mind he had. Mm-hmm. And you know what I love about Thomas More and also St. John Fisher.
Oh, two great men.
Fisher was a bishop, and Thomas More was, of course, the Chancellor of England.
That's right. Right?
When they would not agree with Henry VIII's divorce, remarriage, divorce, beheading, divorce. God knows the man. What a crazy life. Anyway, when they wouldn't go along with that, they were both martyred.
Yes.
They were both beheaded. Right. However, one of the things that more, almost as important as their martyrdom itself, was that of all the bishops.
That's where I wanted to go. Yep.
And of all the statesmen.
That's right.
In England, these were the only two that stood up.
That's remarkable.
There weren't two bishops. There weren't three bishops. There were hundreds of bishops all over the place. Yeah. Only this one said, no, the truth is more important. Well, it's going to cost you your life. Well, the truth is more important than my life. I've already figured that out.
Yep.
You know, go ahead. I'll pay that cost. That's fine. Thomas More, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I cannot lie. I cannot lie. What you're doing is wrong. Period. Right. Finally, he said. And that's it. They gave their lives. But look at the odds. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many of us would stand up in front of 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 500,000 people and say, no, you're wrong. God is right. Well, you know, this is the law of God is to be obeyed first. Most of us would buckle. And these men did not. That's why they're so great.
And Father Mur, you're right. Your point is well taken. I look at our own time right now. There are very few bishops today. I'll just give you, I saw a headline on LifeSite News. It was from the Bishop Strickland Hour, where he made a comment and said that the media are a bunch of liars. And they thought that was newsworthy because a bishop would say that. I thought, are there that few bishops who are willing to call it for what it is? And I have to say, our time is not much different than the time of King Henry VIII, because most people want comfort. And if you're going to, I don't want to make a sacrifice if it means I'm going to be paying a heavy price, whether it's my life or even, are you ready, being treated like a second-class citizen? And I'm referring to the vaccination programs. So my point to you is, if you are a Catholic Christian, even if you're just a Christian, our Protestant brothers who listen to this show, I would encourage you to take inspiration from Thomas More and Bishop Fisher and many of the saints, because even some of these saints over the time of history, Father, you know this, they've been even persecuted by Holy Mother the Church. Look at Padre Pio. Look at, other saints, Bishop Athanasius, from the 4th century, exiled 5 times. So I just want to encourage our listeners.
If you mentioned our Protestant friends, and a lot of our Protestant friends are very interested in followers of the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Let me just throw a couple more saints out.
Good.
This is food for thought.
Yeah.
Saint John of the Cross.
Oh yes, that's a good story.
Was put in prison.
Yeah, that's
by
a good
the
one.
Spanish Inquisition. Saint Teresa of Avila was arrested by the Spanish Inquisition. Right. So it's not that the church is always going to be in your favor. Years ago, Terry, I gave retreats, oftentimes to nuns,
uh-huh.
and especially dear to my heart were the Carmelite sisters, cloistered Carmelites. They're absolute saints, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember saying one thing that caused all of them to laugh.
Hmm.
I said, in the convent, this is the cloistered convent where these women, once they enter, never leave for the rest of their lives doing prayer and penance for all the rest of us, which is a magnificent thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, in the convent, there are two kinds of nuns. There are saints and there are saint makers.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And they all laugh because,
and
that's it. Well, in the church, we have the same thing too.
Sure.
In the body of bishops, we have the same thing. In everything, we have the same thing, right?
Right.
So, yes, many times the church herself is the cause of people's sanctification because they've been the reason that the church has made saints by causing some suffering. It happens.
It's the way it goes. I have a statement from one of the saints that said there's no saint that's not going to be persecuted by Holy Mother of the Church. And I'll tell you why I think it is, Father, is because many times, not just at this time of history, we have people that are worldly inside the church. And worldliness doesn't get along with being a Christ follower because the world is the devil and the flesh are always attacking us. And so when you try to reform the church, and I think we're at a time right now the church needs to be reformed back to its more traditional forms of piety. That's just my take. I can see it. I've been here only, 64 years? But it seems like that needs to be done to bring back our memory, because we actually have been getting more along with the world than we have for the past 60 years of my life. I don't know about you, Father, but when I get worried when the church is promoting what the world is promoting. How about you?
Oh, there's an alarm bell should go off.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear that the church and the state are in agreement on something.
Yes.
Your antennae should go up.
Yep, I agree.
Something wrong.
Well, listen, Father, one thing you did last Friday for us is you came on and talked about the 21 regrets people confess on their deathbed, and we didn't get through all of the list. And like I said, I got such a great response. And, folks, we're going to talk about the vaccine tomorrow. all kinds of things on the Terry and Jesse Show. But you know what? The most important thing to talk about is your soul. Because as Bishop Sheen says, if souls are saved, everything is saved. But if souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. So this examination of conscience through this Father Nelson, who put this together, this article, 21 Regrets People Confess on Their Deathbed. Father Murr, before I get to those points, I really think you've had, as a priest, something that I don't get, and that is you've actually been at the deathbed of people, and you've actually witnessed one of the most powerful conversion stories I've ever heard. And I know it's in your book, and I want to give a plug to that book for people to read. Just go to Amazon, I guess, or however way they can get it, Father Charles Murr, and type in his name, Father Charles Murr, or Charles Murr, and you can find books by Father. But Father, this story that you tell, I don't mean to give all the details, but I'd like you to tease people, because I love conversion stories, but this is a deathbed conversion, and it ties right into what people regret on their deathbed. Could you just share briefly the story?
Yeah, I'll try.
Briefly, we might have to go to the second segment, but go ahead.
As a matter of fact, there were so many people asking for a copy of that story that I took it out of one book and put it into the most recent Memoirs of a Non-Wed Father.
Yeah, that's the book people need to get.
Put that story in there, but it basically was, I was in Mexico, mm-hmm. got called. I think I was 29 years old.
Yeah, so newly ordained.
That's like 150 years ago. Anyway, I was called to the hospital in town by a doctor who knew me. A doctor who I considered a real saint. He was a saint in his own right. Mm-hmm. And he was also the head of the Knights of Columbus in town, mm-hmm. which I was a member and chaplain. And he called me. That there was an emergency at the hospital. I went, and I got there. He said there was a man who needed confession, needed the sacraments, last rites. I arrived, and the doctor met me at the door, and told me basically who it was that I was going to go see. Mm-hmm. He knew better than to tell me over the phone, because I wouldn't have gone.
Exactly.
Anyway. No, I would go at any rate. I would go for anyone. But the man was a military general in the Mexican Army, retired, mm-hmm. Close to 90 years old.
Wow.
And the doctor told me, Dr. Juan Martin del Campo told me, this man has 2 hours to live. I said, 2 hours to live? How do you know 2 hours? He said because he's gangrene has already formed in both legs, and he'll die of a heart attack shortly. And he said he really needs a priest. Well, mm-hmm. I'm making the story a long story longer. I went to go see him, and right outside the room stood his wife and quite a number of children. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the exact number, but it was, I think there were 10 or 11 children.
These are all adults. Yes.
These are all adults. They're in their 70s.
Sure.
70s and 60s. The youngest one was in his 50s.
Wow.
Anyway, they're outside the room. I stopped and just talked with them for a moment, and they told me how difficult he was. Well, they didn't exaggerate it, I'll tell you that. So, I went in, and it was horrible. It was the worst treatment that I've ever received as a priest. And I've been spat upon, hit, beaten on the side of the head, everything else as a priest. I have, and been insulted many times. None of that compared to this. None of that. I never heard such language coming out of a human being's mouth. As this man made up swear words that I wouldn't even have fantasized about exist, and told me to get the H out of the room.
Of course,
in no uncertain terms. Anyway, I didn't leave. You know that moment when your knees start, you're doubting your knees; they're not going to hold up your body.
Absolutely,
shake a little bit. That's how angry I was.
Father, we got to take a quick break, and then you'll continue on this beautiful conversion, deathbed conversion of a general from Mexico. Fantastic conversion story. We'll be back with Father Charles Murr to finish the story. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us, family, here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Father Charles Murr is here sharing a powerful testimony of a deathbed conversion. So put your seatbelt on. Father, please continue. I'm at the edge of my chair.
Well, anyway, I didn't leave the room. I've got everybody outside,
yeah.
Wife and all.
Yeah, when he asked you to leave, I got it. Now I just want to, go ahead.
But everybody's outside praying the rosary.
Awesome.
I left them with that intention. After
beautiful.
Told me how difficult it was going to be.
Beautiful.
I stayed there. I remained there. And he started insulting me all over the place. The story is better when it's written down.
Sure.
I remember it logically.
But
the point was, I finally got to the point. I said, he screamed at me that I wasn't leaving. And I said, with your kind permission, General, I'd like to remain. I said, I've got all of my chores at the parish done for today. I'm caught up with everything. I've already said Mass.
Sure.
I have nothing else to do all day, nothing. And I said, I said, you just got done insulting the Jesuits who taught me in Rome. Uh-huh. And I said, one of the things they never taught me, I remember saying this, I said, one of the things they
this
never taught me
was
how a man actually goes to hell. I know that a lot of people go to hell, but they never told me how one does. I said, I've got the afternoon free. If you'll permit me, I'm going to just take that chair over there and watch for myself and learn how a man actually goes to hell.
Wow.
Right? And I don't look, if you ask me today where I got that from, I don't know where that came to.
That's the Holy Spirit, man.
It really was. Looking back on it was, because I'm not that bright to come up with something like that. Anyway, I took the chair.
Yeah.
Sat down on the green chair right in front of him and didn't move and didn't say another word. I told him I'd remain silent.
Yep.
That's when the dialogue began. It took about 5 good minutes of intense prayer on my part. I was carrying the Blessed Sacrament, so I spoke to our Lord.
Yes.
I remember I spoke to him. I said, listen, you want this fish? You want this fish?
Mm-hmm.
Here he is. It's a good fish, a big one. If you want him, you move him. I've done all I can.
Yep.
So I gave that challenge to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I said, from now on, it's up to you. Well, I'll be done. He started speaking to me.
Wow.
Little by little, little by little, we went back and forth. It was rough, a little bit of a rough conversation. And the swearing, I mean, I don't know how these people lived with him, if this is the way he was, his family, his own family. But we got through it. I'll make a long story shorter.
This is good, though. I love it.
I heard his confession.
Good. But, Father, before you, I have to say this. I have to say that part of that story, and I know you're making it shorter because we got the 10 things to still get to on the deathbed, but this was so powerful on how you were able to share the gospel with him. I think everybody didn't need to be a priest to learn this. You just had the Holy Spirit, but you also used good people skills with him. You asked them questions. You showed the joy you had.
Sure.
This is important for. Can you just add a little bit?
And Terry, one day when you and your audience have an hour and a half, I'll
more than that. Yeah, continue.
Anyway, it was quite a dialogue.
Right? Yeah, it was.
We got there. But and I'm cutting it very short.
Sure.
I heard his confession. This sounds absolutely crazy.
Yes.
I heard his confession and then realized he was never baptized.
Oops. I hate when that happens. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
He was never baptized. He was never confirmed.
Shocking.
He was never married.
Yeah.
He was never married. Nothing.
So you mean to tell me he grabbed this woman 60 years ago and just said, you're coming with me, when she was like 15 or 16?
I think she was 15 years old.
Yeah.
He stole her from a village.
Yeah, that's how it worked.
Just picked her up on his horse, and that was it.
against her will, totally, of course. But mm-hmm. There was no recourse in those days at all.
Oh, yeah. Like,
what do you do?
Yeah.
Anyway, this poor woman was a saint.
Yeah.
She lived the life of a martyr.
You're not kidding.
She really did. Anyway, she wanted to see her husband get to heaven.
Yeah. God love her.
So did all of her children, who she secretly had baptized.
Oh, I love it.
He would have none of that. He was a Freemason.
Yep.
All right, this is it. And anyway, the long and the short of it was, he received confession, baptism.
Oh, grand slam coming up.
Married.
Wow.
Married. What am I missing?
Anointing of the sick.
Extra unction.
Right.
The only thing I didn't confer on him that day was priesthood.
Yeah.
It was the holy orders. It was the sacrament of holy
orders. Who was his patron saint when you gave him confirmation? This is important.
Yeah. They don't have this custom in Mexico, but I started it with him. We've got a custom that you take a patron saint when you're confirmed.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to give you a good one. His name is Dismas.
I stole heaven.
He said, and Dismas, and at this time, for all of the sacraments, all of his children and his wife is there.
Awesome. What a joy.
You marry them.
Oh.
And they're all looking at this, in disbelief.
Yeah, I would too.
In joy, but in disbelief. So I said, Dismas, and you can tell who I stole this from.
Of course.
I admit it readily. I said, Dismas should be your confirmation name. We'll give him that. I said, because Dismas was a thief who died alongside of our Lord.
That's right.
He was, and he was able to die a thief, General.
Yeah.
Because he stole heaven.
I love it. That's so beautiful.
And I said, that's what I want you to do.
That's great.
That's the way you're dying. You're going to steal heaven.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Fulton J. Sheen.
Of course.
that's why I took
And
that.
Father, when you married them, how many minutes did he live on after they witnessed the marriage vows in front of all 10 kids? He had gangrene, so he was dying. How long did he last after he had all the sacraments? He's married to his wife.
It was just minutes. Just minutes. Just minutes.
God's timing.
Just minutes.
That's beautiful.
And he died exactly the way Dr. Juan Martin del Campo said he was going to die of a massive heart attack.
Yep.
And that was it.
Beautiful.
The story doesn't end there.
No.
No, because what were we talking about just before? We were talking about how people in the church, how the same church can persecute.
Yeah, that's right. Persecution within the church.
Make life difficult for all of us.
Sure.
And you know, I was going to say something to that, Terry.
Tell me.
Why does that happen? Why does that happen? Because that's the devil's last recourse.
That makes sense. Yeah.
To use the church.
Of course.
To use what's holy. There, you see? You see? Even these people, these people are saints. Look at them.
Yeah.
They're all saints. They're against you.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
This is really his last.
I agree totally with you on that. Totally.
It's terrible, but that's what he's got, and he uses it.
Yeah.
But the same thing here, when the parish priest, who I wasn't particularly fond of, and he wasn't particularly fond of me.
That's
right?
Okay.
But he reported me to the bishop's office.
For what?
To the archbishop. Because the man was a Freemason.
Yep.
And as such was excommunicated.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to deal with him, he had to be the excommunication
only
had
the
to be
bishop.
Lifted.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Only the bishop could do that. Well, that's not true, because in the moment of death,
first priority,
priest.
Yep, exactly.
That's right. What is God? This is so beautiful about the Catholic Church.
Yes, canon law says it.
Problems. Well, but officially, we have our priorities right.
That's right.
In the moment of death, it's mercy kicks in.
You got it.
Anything is possible because we want what? The salvation of souls.
Exactly.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
Now you're nailing it.
So I get called into the bishop's office.
This
the
is good. Yeah.
Who truly was a saint.
Yep.
Truly a saint. If there ever was one, he was. And he told me why I was called in. Well, not only did he not chew me out, he congratulated me.
That's awesome.
Right. And also informed me that he was pretty sure that the same the same general who, before he was a general, he was a private in the Mexican Revolution, mm-hmm. in the Cristiada.
Yes.
The Mexican Civil War,
sure. against
the Catholic Church, right?
Yeah.
He believed that he was the same one who had participated. Now, I couldn't affirm or deny this because I couldn't, right? But he thought he was the same one who had participated in the execution of the priest of San Julian.
Yep.
In Jalisco.
Fits.
If you remember the Cristiada movie?
Of course.
All right, do you remember the character played by Peter O'Toole?
Yes.
All right, the priest was taken out of mass.
I
in
saw
full
it.
Vestments.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very famous photograph.
Yes, it is.
In full vestments, and against the wall of the church was executed, shot.
I remember that.
By the firing squad.
Yep.
Well, he believed that this man was involved in that.
Wow. Wow.
Right? I can't.
It
I
makes
can't
sense, though. Think other. About it. It does. It fits.
But not only that, since he was stationed in Guadalajara.
Yep.
The Archbishop believed that this man also had a hand in the execution of his own father.
Oh.
The Archbishop's father.
Wow.
Right? That's another story.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
And he started crying.
Yeah, I bet.
When I told him this, and congratulated me.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But forgiveness.
He was thankful. Listen, this is how beautiful. And what I'm telling you, this is
touches the my heart
that comes in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You're talking about the man who possibly hung your father from a tree.
Yep.
And you, as a young priest in disguise, had to go at midnight and cut his body down.
Wow.
Your own father. And you only saw him once before for your first mass that was in the corral of somebody's home. Right? That was it. You'd seen the bishop and the archbishop had studied in Rome. He had been in Rome for 6 or 7 years, came home, and there was the revolution going on. He had to be hidden in different places. He cut his own father down.
And Father, this fits right into number 7 for 21 regrets people make on their death credits for the time I took too much time and not enough effort to forgive. Forgiveness is a powerful...
You're the one who took too much time for this, Terry.
Oh my gosh. No, I think it's a powerful story. We come back, we'll continue on the Terry and Jesse Show, family. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr just gave a fantastic deathbed story of forgiveness in Mexico when he was a young priest. You can always hear it on the podcast because I think people need to hear that. Father, I want to, before we get into these 21 regrets, how can people get your books? Because you have a very good gift of writing and you have lots of good books out there. How can people get your books?
Go online.
Okay, and just type your name.
My name, Charles Murr.
M-U-R-R. Yep.
I've also got a website.
Oh, good. I didn't know that. Let's talk about it.
There are a lot of photographs and great memories of the past.
Sure.
But the book that I'm referring to right now, the latest one, is Memoirs
of an Unwed
Father.
I love that title.
That would be me.
I know.
And you know, I'm going to tell you something else. Taking advantage, Terry.
Tell me.
I have another book coming out.
Yeah.
Especially for people who are very interested in the traditional Latin Mass.
Good. We need this. Good timing.
On the 15th of August.
Yep.
Just next week, the second part of the Mass of Ages.
Oh, I love the title.
Is coming out. It's a three-part deal done professionally, beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second part is an interview with yours truly.
Good.
And also, I'm writing a book. I think people are going to be a little bit surprised by that interview.
That's okay.
Surprised by that interview.
How do we see it?
Go
ahead.
Well, you're going to see it. It's going to be online,
okay.
I think, on the 15th of August, on the Assumption.
And what's the website?
The Assumption.
Yep.
I just know that.
Okay, we'll wait. We'll have you back on to talk about it.
An absolute nincompoop when it comes.
I know. I asked you a tough question. I'm joking, Father.
No. Just type in the mass of the ages.
Mass of the ages.
The mass of the ages. It's a. There's a website.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And a blog. It's very good. But anyway, they're having the second part of that put out. The first part is already out. The second part will be out on the 15th of August. And it's an interview with me mm-hmm. about some information for people who are interested in the Latin Mass. I think you'll be very interested.
I'm sure I will be. Yeah.
How the new Mass came about in great part.
Yeah.
Cardinal Edward Gagnon and I were
yeah, that's very the important part. Yes,
I was his secretary for quite a number of years and drove him to major events that are important. Anyway, a new book is coming out that I'm writing, trying to finish in these days, called Murder in the 33rd Degree.
Yes. Now, there's a lot to read into that 33rd. I won't into it, but I get it.
But it's going to be good.
It sounds great.
Anyway, that's that.
All right, Father. Well, let me just,
the important things in life.
You bet. We just covered about forgiveness, how all of us need to forgive, obviously. And it's easy said, hard to do. I also have a CD download called The Hidden Power of Forgiveness by Deacon Bob McDonald that I've distributed hundreds of thousands of over the last 25 years. And if people want it to help with their forgiveness, call 877-526-2151. It'll be a download. It's free. If you want to make a donation, you're welcome to. You don't have to. All right. Here's the next one, Father, about regrets people confess on their deathbed. For taking advantage of someone who loved me in order to get something for myself. Now, Father, I think of that. If I was a young person and I said, Mom, Dad, I need this $100. I need this money because I might have said I need to go to a ball game or I need to, but it would have been better for me to earn my own money and not count on my parents to pay a bill that I was responsible for. So I think that's a very practical application for that. I took advantage of someone I knew would give me the money when really they shouldn't be giving it, but they're soft-hearted and they gave me the money. And I think that's happened to a number of us.
Sure. There's some relationship that this has to perfect and imperfect contrition.
Mm-hmm.
Because God so loved us that he gave us salvation.
Right.
Right. And some of us want to get to heaven because we don't want to go to hell. Right.
Yes. Imperfect contrition.
Imperfect contrition. It's enough.
Yeah.
Let me underline.
And Ignatius talks about that.
That'll get you into heaven.
That's right.
Will. But perfect contrition is that you're sorry for your sins and offenses because they've offended God, who's
Amen.
Deserving of all your love, okay?
Yes.
That's the perfect way. And this is the same sort of way. There are people who love us and who we love, but we also take advantage of. You just gave the example of your parents.
Yes.
They did wonderful things for you, so did mine.
Yes.
Me. Much more than I deserve, believe me, they gave me. But also, being a parent myself, I had hundreds of kids.
Sure.
I took care of.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling, and you must know this even as well or better than I do.
Sure.
When one of your kids comes to you and asks you for something, especially when it's something spiritual,
mm-hmm.
The sacraments, help with this, further education,
sure.
something like this. You want, let me put it this way, it's going to be the wrong wording, but you want to be taken advantage of.
Yes.
You want them.
Right.
You want to give. And you're so this, the relationship of love is the whole deal there.
Right.
Do you ask because you're selfish, or do you ask because of out of love? And are you later on in turn disposed to do the same thing to help somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a loaded one.
It is. Well said. Father, this next one is very important because, you know, the Gospels, it gives a great scripture verse, and we'll talk about that. But here's what it says. For not visiting or sharing time with people because I thought they weren't interesting, educated, or useful. And I think of the people many times we see on the streets who might even be homeless, that we just don't want to have anything to do with them because, you know, what are they going to give me? And I think about that. And one of the things I'll throw out that I think is important is the dignity of each person, no matter who they are. God, they're God made in the image and likeness of God. And what I find beautiful, and I learned this from another priest, that when you see a homeless person, and, you know, you're going to give them food or whatever you're going to do, just to talk to them, always ask them for their name because it shows a dignity. When you talk to somebody, Frank, Mary, what is your name? When they give you their name, use their name when you're talking to them, because I'll tell you, I've found that to be really effective and shows them that you really, really respect them as an individual because you took the time to not only talk to them, but to ask them their name and tell us about yourself. So that one, I think, is applicable to all of us. There's many times where we figure, hey, I don't have the time or I don't want to talk to that person. What are they going to do for me? But that's not the right question to ask. How about you, Father?
I think the one of the details you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Getting someone's name.
Oh, yeah.
And using someone's name, that's really important, isn't it?
I think so.
Really is. You want to talk personal?
Mm-hmm.
That's personal.
Yeah.
You've entered in by that vehicle of using someone's name, you've entered into that person's world.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. It's very important.
Yeah. What about this one, Father? Have any of us related to this? I sure can. For fleeing the cross so many times.
Oh, forget about it.
I know. Give me a break.
Kidding? Yeah. Anytime I see a cross coming, I say, ooh, maybe I want to step out of the way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't. We're supposed to embrace it. And sooner or later, if you don't embrace it, I mean, you're sooner or later going to embrace it. So you might as well start.
Well,
you might as well right from the beginning.
And that's why St. Maximian Kolbe said there's three stages of life. Your formative, your formation, your apostolate, mm-hmm. whether you're a priest, a mother, whatever you are, your apostolate. And then the third stage of life for most of us is suffering, the cross. And as what did Bishop Sheen say? Without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday.
No Easter Sunday, right.
So the cross, once we realize that every act is like a blank check and we can offer it up, now there's value in that suffering. Because I can understand someone saying, well, I don't want to suffer just for the sake of suffering. But when we realize, what does First Colossians say? I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Then we know I can, you know, when I got sick on a boat fishing with my son last week, I could offer up that nausea. Now, again, it wasn't nice getting sick on the boat, but I tried to offer that up and it wasn't something I asked for. But you know what? I think there was a lot of merit that I was able to give to our Lord for the salvation of souls. And I hope and pray someday when I get to heaven, please God, that somebody will say, remember when you got sick on the boat and you flipped your stomach and you were just having you were having a terrible time and you offered that up for the salvation of souls? I'm one of those knuckleheads. Thank you. And why do I say that?
Yeah, but I've got news for you, Terry.
Tell me. I love it. Tell me.
If you lost your lunch on a fishing boat.
Yeah, I did.
It's not only you that had to embrace a cross. Everybody around you did.
My son had to clean up the mess, and he did it, and he offered it up, too. Thank you, Joseph.
Oh.
I mean, Father, these are practical things that happen. We're on a rough sea, and here's the point. It tells me this: the cross. We can't get away from the cross. Look what Jesus did. The cross is our salvation. That's basically what I look at. Hey, we've got many more. Father Murr, again, thank you for joining us. And, you know, your Mass of the Ages, by the 15th, I wrote down by the August 15th, people can go to that website and get your interview there and find out what you have to share. Because I'm going to tell you, I was at an extraordinary form of the Mass this morning. Yes, I went with permission and all the rest there. Awesome. I'm really falling deeper in love with the I go to the Novus Ordo Latin, I go to a Melkite Mass, I go to the Extraordinary Form, the Trinitine Mass. It's the Mass of the Saints of our fathers for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Rediscovering our roots.
Eric. Yeah, rediscovering our roots. Father, how about a final blessing before we have to turn off?
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain forever. Amen.
Listeners, thanks for that. And Father Charles Murr, thanks for taking the time of a busy schedule, writing all these books you're doing, to spend time with our family here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless all of us in following Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and living in the state of grace. Father Charles, what state should we be living in?
Oh, absolutely, in the state of grace.
Amen. That's what we say every day. Why? Because we have a crisis of saints. We need to be that saint God's called you and me to be. May God richly bless you and your family. Thanks for joining us here, family. God love you.